Racist policies at the U.S. Agriculture Department wiped out nearly all black-owned farmland in the 20th century. The department has acknowledged discriminatory practices, and to right some of its wrongs, the USDA in March set aside billions of dollars in debt relief for farmers of color. This follows years of complaints. Let's take a listen to one from John Boyd. He heads the National Black Farmers Association, and he spoke to us earlier this year.
The person who was making loans to black farmers in our county would only see us on Wednesday. It took 370 plus days to process a black farm loan request and less than 30 days to process a white farmer's loan request here in my own county of Mecklenburg County, Virginia. This person spat on me, tore my application up and tossed it in the trash can. The very people who were supposed to give us a hand up almost put us out of business and drove us into almost to extinction based on the numbers.
Many Latino, Asian, and Native American farmers have endured the same. But here's the thing. Most of that debt relief money is held up in a complicated legal fight. So let's disentangle now with Michaela Panditharatna. She's attorney with the environmental law nonprofit Earth Justice. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So first, briefly, can you tell us about some of the fundamental wrongs of the past that are at issue here?
You'd be hard-pressed to find another federal agency that has amassed such a vast collection of evidence that its own discriminatory actions have led to diminished wealth, land loss, bankruptcy, and failure on just a massive scale for Americans of color. Black ownership of farmland really reached its zenith in 1910, when black farmers owned about 14% of all agricultural land in America. Today, that figure has dropped by an astonishing 90%.
90%. I'm hearing you right. 90%?
That's correct.
Wow.
And white farmers now own 98% of total farmland acreage in the U.S. And a whole swath of concrete evidence tells us the reason for that. Between 1862 and 1916, a series of federal homestead acts delivered hundreds of millions of acres of Native American land to near exclusively white settlers. This really set the stage for rampant discrimination against Americans of color in the federal ranks, including at USDA. So part of the story here is that loan officers withheld needed money, allowing cropland to winnow and become desiccated and farms to fail. But a crucial part of the story is also that the quality of the loans that were actually issued by USDA to farmers of color was worse than the quality of loans that were issued to white farmers. USDA gave small loan amounts to farmers of color. It arbitrarily reduced loans, delayed loans, accelerated payment schedules, and denied loan servicing for farmers of color.
Mm. Wow. I mean, this is quite a picture of history here. And now in the pandemic relief legislation, the federal government has set aside $4 billion in debt relief. But there have been challenges holding this up, arising from white farmers bringing challenges. What is their argument and how has it fared in court?
That's right. Shortly after that legislation was passed, former Trump administration officials and conservative and libertarian groups launched lawsuits around the country seeking to block USDA's implementation of the loan relief program, representing white farmers in those lawsuits. They filed lawsuits in Florida, Wisconsin, Tennessee, Texas, Wyoming, Illinois, and Minnesota. The plaintiffs in these cases are contending that the embattled debt relief program is unconstitutional because it excludes white farmers on the basis of their race and ethnicity. They are claiming discrimination.
Okay. And I gather they've had some success because this money is now tied up?
That's right. A nationwide preliminary injunction halted the program in June. But it is important to note that no final decision on the merits has been handed down in any of the cases. And USDA and the Justice Department are continuing to defend the constitutionality of the policy in court.
So as this plays out in court, let's come back to the farmers here, right? Your organization is partnering with groups that are working with these black farmers. If they have to continue to wait, and you've laid out this history of them having either not receiving lending or having to wait, now it seems like they have to wait again. What happens to them? I mean, time is, as they said, time is money, yeah?
That's absolutely right. The halting of the loan relief program represents a huge blow to the farmers of color who have long demanded relief for their economic hardships. Many are bitterly disappointed. Some farmers have made financial decisions in reliance on the promised relief, only to have it stripped away and delayed. A substantial number of these farmers of color are on the brink of economic collapse and foreclosure. And although no final decision has been made in these cases challenging the loan relief program, they will be litigated for years. So now all eyes are on Congress and lawmakers, and we'll be watching to see if Congress can find new alternative avenues to deliver relief to those who are experiencing this hardship.
What about the role now of the Department of Agriculture? As this is playing out in court, is there anything USDA can do now to try to distribute some of this debt relief?
USDA, unfortunately, will not be able to distribute the debt relief that was appropriated specifically for farmers of color, but it can certainly work to improve the racial equity in its ordinary disbursement of benefits and loans. One thing we do know is that America's farm sector remains riddled with stark racial injustices. For instance, in 2011, a report commissioned by USDA Secretary Vilsack found substantial anecdotal evidence of continuing intentional discrimination against farmers of color at USDA, particularly within the Farm Service Agency. And farmers of color were almost entirely left out of more than $8 billion of subsidies distributed by the Trump administration's efforts to offset the impacts of the trade war. So USDA certainly has much more work to do on that front.
Michaela Panditharatna is Associate Attorney for Earth Justice, a nonprofit environmental law organization. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.